Dear Diary, today is January 1st, 2025. Guess what the next thing I'm going to tell you is? Today is the first day of the rest of my life. So cliche, right? Even more cliche if I were to say, no, but for real, I mean it this time. I've got so many ideas, I've got flowcharts and lists and graphs and all these notes, blueprints. I know exactly what I'm doing this time. I've got it all planned. That would be very, very cliche. And you'd probably roll your eyes at me, wouldn't you, Diary? The interesting thing is, I do have ideas. They're detailed, but they're not in blueprint form. I did that last year, and it really didn't work out for me. I mean, it worked great for the first couple months until it kind of fell apart, and I ended up right back where I started, technically. So this time I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm not printing off all of these literal blueprints. These like recipes for life, because it's so easy to break free from that, even accidentally, and then everything just goes out the window, right? So I don't want it to be too specific, but I do want to be driven, motivated. Like, I have to have ideas to know where I'm going, right? And one thing I know for sure is that I am going somewhere, because I can't remain where I am any longer. That is kind of the difference. Things have just gotten to a point where there is no alternative. Okay? Because see, I live in Canada in 2025, and life has not been made very easy here. Now, granted, there are other places in the world where, obviously, they've got a set of their own struggles and worries. But for those born and raised Canadian living in 2025, they'll know how dire the situation is. Rent, hardly affordable. It's three times what it was before 2020. Food, easily doubled. Gas prices. Taxes. Through the roof. Like, he puts taxes on top of taxes. This guy. Freaking guy. So, I mean, the dream of buying our first home as a couple with four kids kind of went out the window in 2021. It was like we were finally getting there. We finally saved up enough. I mean, far more than our parents had to. And then suddenly it was like the housing market doubled overnight. And that money, those savings couldn't go as far. But yet, we're a family of six living in a rental townhome. Just your average, basic, anyone who would know a townhome would know basically the size. And the kids are getting older, and we're starting to live on top of one another. And it's getting to a point that it's not manageable, nor do we want it to be. I don't want to be in a rental. We don't have property. We don't have a fenced-in yard. We don't have privacy. We don't even have a situation where we could have a pet, a dog that all of us want. And certainly, I shouldn't have to compromise on these ideas. I mean, since I was a kid and since my husband was a kid, the idea is you get married, you have kids, you buy a home, you get a dog, That's just the Canadian dream. It's just the Canadian dream, man. And it feels so out of reach anymore. Or so I thought, anyways. Until probably October 2024, where I'm like, no, this just isn't working for us anymore. And we can't sit back and wait for the circumstances to accommodate us. We need to accommodate ourselves. We need to make the circumstances better. So that's what we're going to do. I've spent a lot of time researching and informing myself about how to prosper, even in this crap economy. And I'm intelligent. I'm intelligent enough to figure this out. I'm hyper focused, monofocused, sometimes to my detriment, but other times to our advantage. I mean, why shouldn't I take advantage of my focus and my drive and my ability to self learn, self teach? I can teach myself almost anything. I have taught myself almost everything I know. So why can't I do it when it comes to money and finances? Surely, that was the light bulb moment for me. Was hearing a millionaire say that the difference between the rich and the poor is one has money sense and the other doesn't. And I mean, technically, that's the basis of rich dad, poor dad, right? That really, what differentiates the two classes is that one understands money and the other doesn't. And unfortunately, our system, our society, does not teach that. It's not available at your K to 12 or even your post-secondary. A lot of it comes down to experience too, right? I keep hearing over and over and over again, failure. You have to experience failure in order to succeed. You have to fail and fall on your face multiple times to be able to know what didn't work and what did, right? So there is essentially no real blueprint. There is no how to make money for dummies, right? There's no step-by-step guide. This is how you do it. But I think if we can study those who have done it and explore the nuances, then we can teach ourselves. And what better subject to teach ourselves than how to prosper in a crap system? A family of six can hardly survive, let alone thrive, in a 2025 Western economy. I heard a statistic yesterday, which, I mean, I generally assumed, but it was kind of interesting to hear it said so blatantly, was that to buy a home in Toronto, the average home, a family would need to make a minimum of $240,000 a year. Meanwhile, the average family in Toronto is only making $120,000 a year. I find it preposterous that I just said only making $120,000. That is a number that seemed astronomical when I was a kid. If you knew someone whose parents made $120,000 a year, it was like, that's insane. They must be millionaires. And they pretty much were. They had these ginormous homes. I remember I had a friend in high school who lived in one of the biggest houses I've ever seen. And I'm pretty sure his parents didn't even make that. And his mom didn't even work. So I guess his dad. And if memory serves me correct, he didn't make any more than 100. But that's where we are. I can assure you, Diary, my husband and I do not make $240,000, let alone $120,000. In fact, we make about half that, half of that lower number. So you can imagine the struggle. You're trying to raise four kids under the age of 15 on $50,000, $60,000 a year in Canada. I can't do it anymore. We can't do it anymore. Additionally, we want out of the city. I mean, thank God we don't live in Toronto, but we do live in a city. And we want out. Gone. We're done with the city life. But good luck doing that if you don't have money. Additionally, I need help. Even if we could afford a home and could finally get that rural Canadian dream, the privacy, the white picket fence, the golden retriever, literally, that's what we want. The four kids, the two parents, the two married parents. If we want that Canadian dream, what does it even matter if we don't have health? Technically, I am healthy. Technically. I don't have any ailments. I don't even take any medications. But I guess you could say I do have one diagnosis, which would be obesity. The pain, the constant chronic pain that I have in my back, in my hips, in my knees, in my feet, the discomfort. You know, I laugh a certain way and I get a cramp in my stomach. Always just feeling uncomfortable, uncomfortable in clothes, uncomfortable not in clothes, difficulty breathing, difficulty sleeping, sleeping too well, snoring for the first time in your life. Signs of a lack of health. And it's gotten to a point that there is no alternative for me, okay? Diary, I'm gonna be 40 years old in a little less than a year and a half. And I don't want to be like I am today when I reach that milestone. I don't want to be a family of six living in a rental townhome when I'm 40. And I don't want to be fat when I'm 40. I don't want to be unhealthy when I'm 40. I mean, our bodies are already changing as it is. It's just by nature, biologically, without any of that added stress. And it doesn't need the added stress of my fat adding to it. Not to mention, if we have a home with a yard or endless property, what good would it do if we don't even have the health to go and play with the kids, you know, to run or play catch? We need health for the kids, right? And to set a good example, for heaven's sakes. Thankfully, none of our kids are overweight, but some of them like their sweets a little too much, and it worries me. Now, having struggled with my weight since I was about 13, so most of my life, I've done it all. Oh my gosh, what was the first thing? The first thing I guess I would have done was Atkins, because that was the thing at the time. And it did work at the time. It was just difficult to follow back then. This would have been like 2000, 2001. And just recipe ideas weren't very abundant. Oh, then it was Weight Watchers, which again also worked at the time, but it was very. I know people who like it because they feel like it's a little bit more forgiving than just like a traditional calories in, calorie out diet, but I actually found it very constricting and I hated all the counting and the, you know, the points, and I hated carrying that stupid little book around with me everywhere to establish what every little thing I was going to put in my mouth was going to amount to in points. And then more in my adult life, just the traditional CECO, calories in, calories out. In recent years, keto and vegan. That was fun. Discovered that vegan is definitely not for me. Not to mention, I wouldn't even consider it a diet because French fries and chips are technically vegan. But I mean, who would argue that they're actually healthy for you? I also find it incredibly unsustainable, and I've witnessed too many people in my personal life suffer their health, their underlying health, as a result of their religious veganism. Keto? Now that's an interesting one. That's how 2024 started off for me. I'd done, slight kind of variations of it, or I guess minimal effort attempts at keto in the past. Last year, the beginning of 2024, husband and I dove head into that. And it was, I mean, technically great, especially in 2024 with my fitness pal and Fitbit apps with all these recipes and TikTok and Instagram and YouTube, like all these endless ideas. And oh my gosh, we were eating cheddar cauliflower soup almost every night. It worked for the month of January. We lost, I believe, 10 pounds each. And then, literally, I believe it was the middle of February, I just hit a plateau. I could not, for the life of me, get off this plateau. So I started implementing, treadmill, more water intake, tons of exercise. I was doing at least 2 to 5 kilometers a day. Every day. Every day I would run on that dang treadmill. I would work up a sweat so hard that I would have to go literally immediately from the treadmill to the shower. Like, I would have to text the husband and say, make sure no kids are in the bathroom because I'm getting off the treadmill. And it seemed like a heck of a lot of work to only lose 5 pounds by the end of April. So with my keto, with the daily treadmill, the water intake, I only lost 5 pounds between the middle of February and the end of April. And it was so underwhelming and unsatisfying, dissatisfying, actually. Not to mention, I was still tracking everything. I still had to input everything into my Fitbit app or my Fitness Pal. I still had to count everything. I was weighing everything. And so my great idea was screw the keto, just focus on calories in, calories out. Because that's what the internet told me at the time. It was no wonder you're not losing weight on keto. You're eating all that cheese and all that dairy in your cheddar cauliflower soup, which seemed practical. It was like, oh yeah, that was 700 calories. Plus, we ended up having, like, that was just the entree, right? Or the appetizer. And then we'd go on to have our actual meal. So in reality, we were consuming at least 1,000 calories per dinner. So calories in, calories out made sense. Oh, I just need to eat lean meat. I just need to limit my dairy. So I went on this huge, oh my gosh, the things that I went through. Getting the low fat and the no fat, sour cream, yogurt. Oh, I was eating protein yogurt every day, incessantly. The protein shakes. Because it was easy to calculate. Oh, I know how I'm weighing my strawberries. I know how many calories they are. I'm adding it to a scoop of my low sugar, low carb protein powder. I'm using What was I using? Wasn't oat milk, wasn't almond milk. Oh wait, maybe it was almond milk. So minimal calories there, remember? And still, through May and June, I believe it was another 5 pounds. All the work, I kept doing the treadmill, and it was just incessant counting and weighing and calculating and this and planning and preparing and the meals, they were so bland. I remember my breaking point was we were obsessed with cauliflower rice and like Brussels sprouts and stuff like that. Peppers. I love sauteed peppers. And every night I would make the cauliflower rice, but once I was doing the calories in, calories out, I had to account for the olive oil and the butter, whatever I used. And so I got the Kirkland zero, the spray, you know, the pan spray, and it was zero carbs or zero calories, whatever it was. And I'm on Reddit, like, what is the solution to dry, bland cauliflower rice if I'm counting my calories? Basically, Reddit's response, their great, knowledgeable answers were, suck it up. You need to have dry, bland cauliflower rice if you're counting your calories, because it's the only way you can do it. It was so, oh my gosh, it was so daunting. Like, it was so annoying. I come from a European family, where an Eastern European family, I should emphasize, where oil and butter and spices and all these flavors, like, it's, you know, our soup is even oily. And it's just, oh, the flavor. Like, I missed the flavor. My calorie counting foods recipes were just not that delicious. And when I would watch like YouTube videos of, you know, these calorie conscious recipe ideas, that's what it was. It was just like the blandest of food. It was like, look at this bed of, you know, starch white cauliflower rice that I made, and this little piece of lean chicken that I cooked in absolutely nothing. Oh, but I added some, you know, piri piri sauce to it or something. And it's like, I can't live like that. Gosh darn it. Not to mention with minimal results. The husband is so picky about food that it was really difficult. It was really a struggle. So then I come across carnivore. And I had ignored this idea for the longest time. I heard so many people talking about it. My best friend was telling me about it because her husband did it. And she was, have you thought of this? And I'm like, I don't think I could do it. Not to mention purchasing meat in a 2024 Canadian economy, like, give me a break. It just doesn't seem plausible, realistic. But the more I learned about it, the more I studied it, the more I was willing to at least try it, right? Let's give it a shot. You know, my 2024 New Year's resolution was basically just lose weight. And I had this whole blueprint. I printed off planners that I had made in Canva. I had wrote down everything about every part of my day as it related to food. I tracked everything. I weighed everything, and it was so constricting and time consuming. And you know, even if I could prepare my dinner within 10 to 15 minutes, it took just as long to calculate it all, to weigh it, and to And I get it, you know, people who've been doing it for a long time, they're like, oh, with time, you know, you can kind of wing it. Fair. Granted, it did become slightly easier or less time consuming with time. But it just, something about it was not for me, and especially for such minimal results. By the end of June, technically, if you're paying attention, diary, I had technically lost 20 pounds, but that weight also fluctuated. So, really, by the last 2 days of June 2024, I had only lost 16 pounds. And everything that I went through for those 16 pounds, and I still felt like crap. I still felt like crap constantly. It wasn't changing anything. I was still depressed. I was still disgusted with myself. And mind you, diary, I should have told you before, my goal was to lose 80 plus pounds. So to lose 16 wasn't really, especially within half a year, right? Like, what is that? Especially if it wasn't doing anything else for my health or my mental health, my mental well-being. And I was so desperate that on July 1st, 2024, Canada Day, I said, the heck with it. Let's just try this whole carnivore thing. And it literally changed my life. It's so hard to explain to someone who has not gone through the process, but it is life transforming. Like, it's transformational. Not just, it's just in every aspect of my life, I was admittedly healthier, happier, more productive. I had so much more energy. It was insane. Typically, when I'm, you know, overweight and just eating whatever, I'm sluggish, extremely sluggish. It is so hard to get me to do anything. I am tired constantly, and I could literally fall asleep standing up. Like, no joke. Every night when the husband and I sit down to watch a show or a movie together, I typically fall asleep within the first half an hour. Like, you cannot keep me up. But yet, when I was carnivore, I could not go to sleep. I started having to take magnesium just to fall asleep. I had so much energy just constantly pumping through my veins. Now, granted, the first 2 weeks was not easy. First of all, you're getting used to this whole new system of eating. System of food consumption, like your food consumption changes drastically, and your palate, you're getting used to these new or different, I should say, flavors. Now, I always worried about like the whole bland thing, but surprisingly, it's not what you would think. And unlike other carnivores who are like super strict about seasonings and stuff, I did dazzle my food up a little bit from time to time, depending on what it was. I found steak, I didn't really need much more than salt. But if I was doing like hamburger, yeah, typically I would want to add something to the meat, to my hamburgers, to my ground beef. But all the fats and the butters and the everything in the meat was so flavorful. And thankfully, I love meat. I love beef. I love beef and I love pork. I love bacon. That was one thing that drove me nuts when I was calorie conscious. I had to eat turkey bacon. Like, I'm sorry, if you don't really care about food or you're not crazy about bacon or pork or whatever, fine. I'm sure you can deal with turkey bacon just fine. Not me. I grew up eating bacon. I love bacon. Bacon's like, I don't know, it's ingrained in my Canadian roots. To me, bacon is Canadian and I'm Canadian. So I loved it all. And I would add variety to my plate. So then rather than just having a steak, I would have half a steak and maybe a hamburger patty and a handful of bacon. Or I'd have a hamburger patty or even ground beef, scrambled eggs, and a handful of bacon. So I found many ways to spice up my plates, to add variety, so I wasn't getting bored. I just dove into it. And as I said, for the first 2 weeks, it was a little challenging. I mean, I had to give up drinking, I wasn't adding cream to my coffee. I was still drinking 1 cup of black coffee in the morning. The rest, I was just drinking water. That's when I got really interested in bubbly water, which was like a godsend. Not that I ever have really cared about pop, but even like juice or like those like zero calorie juices, I couldn't do that with carnivore, so I had to find something else to kind of satisfy my palate, and I found flavored bubbly waters were like literally a godsend. My body seemed to kind of struggle for the first 2 weeks. There were some mornings that I would wake up so incredibly sore that it would be hard to roll out of bed. And it got to the point where I was like, what the heck is going on? Because this is something I've never experienced before. As unhealthy as I have been, as overweight as I have been, the pain was excruciating. And I mean, I have suffered chronic pain since I was 14 due to an accident. But so I've long struggled with chronic pain, but this was just unusual. Until finally, 14 days in, I woke up one morning and it was like I was a new person. I was a new, different human being. I got out of that bed so light-footed, like I was like a feather. I just jumped out of bed. And it wasn't until I went to the bathroom that I was sitting there and I thought to myself, I was like, holy smokes. Like my back didn't even, what? Like my back wasn't even hurting walking here. I just got out of bed like no problem. And that's really when the energy kicked in too. I found myself like just inventing things to do around the house to satiate my energy levels. Like it was just, I don't know. And you could see my water bloat went down so quickly. Within that 2 weeks, the shape of my stomach had changed. My clothes, admittedly, arguably, objectively, hung differently on me. I had friends and loved ones who were like, are you losing weight? He was like, I lost weight at the beginning of the year and nobody noticed. But all of a sudden, it, like I said, it was different this time. It was, I could feel it. I could see it. It was obvious. And it was so obvious, in fact, that depending on what I ate the night before, whether it was ground beef, steak, chicken, chicken wings, eggs, I kind of knew or expected, I knew how I could expect to wake up and feel and look in the mirror the next morning. I found chicken wings weren't quite as forgiving. I mean, it was generally when I had steak or ground beef that my body felt the best. And there were so many other changes I'll get into another day with your diary, but the main point is that I experienced it firsthand, and I was singing it from the roof. I was telling everyone who would listen about this, how life-changing it was. All of a sudden, my chronic pain was gone. My sluggishness and my brain fog gone. Like, literally, no more. I was happier. I was glowier. Like, admittedly, you could see it. I should have said objectively. Objectively, you could see it in my face. I just looked different. I looked healthier. I looked better. My hair was healthier. It wasn't falling out the way it has been for years. It was a different time in my life. It was incredible. And surprisingly, it wasn't as expensive as I thought it was going to be, because guess what? I have a Costco membership, and Costco is amazing with meat prices, at least for the ground beef and for the chicken wings, ground pork, stuff like bacon. Oh my gosh, they have the best price for bacon. I do generally have to go to another grocery store for a steak because I do think Costco is overpriced. I'm sure the quality is amazing, but it's just more money than I'm willing to spend on steak. But either way, I made it work. And eggs, I would just buy a bunch of eggs, bacon, ground beef. Steak was like a twice a week thing. I wasn't eating it every night because I couldn't afford to. But it wasn't as difficult as I thought. And better yet, I was making supper so quickly, and there was no counting, no weighing, no nonsense, no tracking, no calculating this or that, or, figuring out how many grams of this is gonna cost me, my daily budget, like all this nonsense. And after a while, it gets to the point where you kind of know how much ground beef is going to fill you up. And that was the other thing. I was satiated so much easier. Like, when I heard people talk about one meal a day, I was like, there's no way. There's no way I could only eat one time a day. Not that I eat a lot throughout the day, but I do find that I'm generally hungry in the morning after taking the kids to school. I need something to kind of do me the rest of the day before supper. And a lot of times I would get pretty snacky as I was making supper for the kids. But this, it got to the point where I genuinely was only eating once a day, because it was tiding me over that whole time. And I wasn't hungry. It wasn't like I was just suppressing hunger pangs. No, I legit was not hungry. And so with time, one comes to learn like how big a chunk of steak will satiate them and for how long. You come to learn how far these meals are going to take you. And I did learn that about myself. And then we had our summer vacation plans. And I told my husband, I said, I fear this. I'm so early into this. It had only been just over a month. And where we were going to be staying and with who and what we were going to be doing, I was like, it's going to be extremely difficult for me to be cooking bacon and ground beef every night. not to mention the access to alcohol, which I had cut out of my diet for months at that point, but especially during carnivore, I didn't drink not even a Sunday glass of wine or beer or anything like that. And I knew it was going to be difficult. I surprised myself in that I did manage it for the first few days, until someone gave me a glass of, I guess you could say it was a Black Russian. And that was basically it. The next morning I woke up, felt like I got hit, literally hit by a Mack truck, and spent about an hour in the bathroom. And it was noteworthy how that one glass of Kahlua and vodka essentially wrecked my body and erased all the progress that I had made. And diary, before you ask, why didn't you just get back on the wagon? The problem was, is we were basically on a 1 month vacation. So by the time we got home, which was literally 2 days before the kids were going back to school in September, I had been off the wagon for quite a while. And found it difficult to get back on. That is until late October, early November 2024, just, a couple months ago, where my clothes started fitting me differently again. This way, this time in a bad way. And new issues arose. My knees started hurting even in the middle of the night while I'm sleeping. It's depending on the position that I'm laying, my legs hurt, my hips hurt. If I sit cross-legged for too long, I honestly feel like my knees are going to fall apart. And I had to pull out my old clothes. Clothes that I hadn't worn since, I don't know, 2022, 2023. Seems like a lack of willpower, and I'll be honest, diary, it was. It kind of got to the point where I was like, screw it. Like, it's the end of the year. Christmas is around the corner. Well, am I gonna carnivore now when all the delicious baked goods are gonna be out in front of my face? All the Christmas booze and the Christmas cheer and the. It just, I don't know. I did lose my willpower. And I said, screw it. I'm just not gonna stress about it right now. I got enough stress on my plate. And, I'll deal with it in the new year. So, diary, that's what I'm here to tell you, is that it's finally the new year. It's January 1st, 2025, and I'm going carnivore again. Starting today, by the way. I technically had a piece of Christmas chocolate that the kids had given me because they didn't like it, and I was saving it to have with my coffee. And then I realized, oh, today's January 1st. Technically, I can't eat that with my coffee, and so I didn't. It's a new year, and while it's true that some people get like over excited with their aspirations and their resolutions, I do feel this is different because it's something I've already experienced. It's something that I already know exists. It's possible. It's within arm's reach. Really within arm's reach. Like I was so close. And at least if I can give myself if I can start at the beginning of the year and give myself that 6-7 month head start before the holidays or the vacation, summer vacation, I probably give myself a better chance, wouldn't you think? Like, that'll give me more time. Because remember, when I did it last summer, July 1st, those first 2 weeks, I feel like we're just getting into the routine of it. You know, it wasn't really until day, honestly, I could look it up right now. I honestly feel like it was, I feel like it was day 14 or 15 that it took before I actually felt good. Like, I actually felt like, okay, this is it. So it looks like day 9 was when I first noticed the energy. Day 16 was finally when I felt like, all right, we're in it. We're carnivore now, baby. 16 days later is the last entry I have for that. Because it means on day 33, we left for the summer vacation. I should also note, diary, that in those 32 days, I had lost 5 pounds. But like I said, I feel like those first 2 weeks were just getting into the groove of things. And I feel like those first 2 weeks didn't really count. I mean, they counted because I needed to go through them to. I almost say it was like breaking through a barrier. And I truly, truly believe my body was detoxing in those 2 weeks. That's why I was waking up every day so sore and having fluctuations in my weight for the first couple of weeks. It was like my body was ridding itself of the junk in my body, and it took those 2 weeks to finally accomplish as much. So technically, I was only just over 2 weeks into this thing when we went on our stupid vacation and mucked it all up. So, I gotta give myself a better head start. Not just that, because I know it's possible. It's the only time I have ever been successful on, if you want to say, quote unquote, diet. And the funny thing is, I wouldn't even consider it that. It's a lifestyle change, and that is what differentiates it from every other fad diet out there, is because it's the only one that actually did transform my life, even if it was the shortest time frame. I had been on other diets for months, sometimes, you know, easily over a year, and had lost technically more weight, but never felt as good as I felt in those 2+ weeks carnivore. And I'll prove it to you, diary, because I'm going to document it here. I want to keep record of my progress for future reference. Additionally, I'm going to keep you updated and informed on my path to financial freedom, let's say. I hate all these words, sound so cliche. I was going to say like financial journey or whatever. I just glow up. Yeah, I'm glowing up this year, and you're going to be there to witness it, okay, diary? That is the point. I'm so confident that things are about to change that I want you there as witness to it. Because when people don't believe me in the future, I want the proof. I want the receipts. I want to say, here's how I did it, and I've got it all, baby. One of my biggest regrets was that during COVID, despite my lifelong proclivity to writing and journaling and record keeping and, you know, newspaper clipping, article clipping, that one time I didn't really do it. And in hindsight, it drives me bat crap insane. The one time that I really truly wished I had saved all of my thoughts and knowledge and new information regarding that global event, I didn't. I squandered it. And it drives me insane thinking about that. I have a few things here and there, and I've got bookmarks, and I've got a few notes. I've got a few newspapers and stuff, but nothing is succinct. And it would have been like the perfect scrapbooking project ever. What even better did we have to do during that time? I could have used every day to scrapbook rather than obsess about whatever. I'm getting off course. I just think it was a valuable lesson learned that during these moments of life transformation, we should better document our progress. And far too often, especially in this age of digital social media, far too often the case is that people start documenting the outcome. They document their progress after they've accomplished their goals, which is great for, hindsight. It's great to offer quick proofs and results of hard work. But at the same time, I feel like it gives us unrealistic expectations. Like we think our situations are going to happen overnight because that's technically all we see. We see, oh, look what I looked like a year ago, and here's what I look like today. I kind of want to go about this a different way. And if for nothing else, I'd like to give the kids, my kids, a handbook for their own financial freedom, for their own health. I think that's pretty important going forward. So expect to hear from me a lot more often. I'll be here every day unless I can't be. That's how my 2025 is going to be. Hope you're okay with it. And stick around and see the progress. Okay, diary. I feel like that was a pretty good first entry, so I'll talk to you tomorrow. Be well, and bye-bye.